This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. The dollar a gallon biodiesel blender's credit expires January 1st, and the lame duck Congress purposefully decided not to extend it again. I don't believe that congressional leadership is pro-biofuel. I think that they will find ways to undermine the RFS. The industry was given a gift by EPA in the increase in the advanced biofuel mandated volumetric targets for which biodiesel qualifies. That increases the renewable identification number requirements on the petroleum industry. Biodiesel blending generates 1.5 RINs. A petroleum refinery either has to blend biodiesel or go out and buy the RINs. RINs are the enforcement mechanism for the RFS. Ending the biodiesel tax credit, but accelerating advanced biofuels use, seems like putting one foot on the brake and the other on the gas pedal. The loss of the blender's credit would negatively impact biodiesel industry profitability. The blender's credit in its past form is gone for good, but it may be resurrected as a producer's credit, where domestic biodiesel producers would get some level of a credit, or a longer-term sunset if a producer's credit is enacted. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley was reelected, and he has been a strong supporter of the biodiesel industry and credits. His influence will be tested. Congress is going to tackle comprehensive tax reform legislation, and that would likely be the opportunity for something for the biodiesel industry to be included. Then again, the appointment of a big oil surrogate, Scott Pruitt, as EPA administrator, creates new risks that the advanced biofuels mandate will not be increased in the future. Current targets could be undermined. Pruitt is on record as strongly opposing the RIN system, as well as on record opposing everything else about biofuel. Corn ethanol is at less risk because it is not subsidized, nor is it included as an advanced biofuel. We have every reason to believe that Pruitt will shore up and strengthen the blend wall. Cellulosic ethanol production growth is not going to happen in any quantity, while advancing the biofuels targets generates the ire of big oil. The RFS is at risk from the back door and side doors more than it is from the front door. I understood why soy oil went up, as the global veg oil supply was tight and the advanced biofuels mandate supports biodiesel. The new EPA administrator, Scott Pruitt, who was interviewed by Carl Icahn, who hates the RFS for the job, will change the tenor at EPA to something less friendly for the RFS. Only a fool would think otherwise. If you imagine the worst possible appointment that could be made for the biofuel industry to head EPA, I can't think of one worse than Pruitt. You can't appoint someone like Scott and not do some damage to biofuel somewhere. Whatever the EPA did on setting volumetric targets can be undone by Pruitt. Big Oil is giddy over this nomination for good reason. You're listening to the Comstock Report. If they are not going to put any more work at USDA into updating the December supply demand than what they did for last Friday, they had just as well saved the money that it takes to release said report. Overall, between wheat, corn, and grain sorghum, there is plenty of supply around with a collective 1.115 billion bushel increase in carryover, despite improvement in demand. The sorghum carryover doubled as China has not expanded its purchases. The niche demand increase in sorghum has been filled, so they will reduce sorghum acreage accordingly. If the grain is not going to be worth enough, they would rather have corn than sorghum, and the lack of GMO sorghum makes it harder to produce. USDA did increase Brazilian corn production by 3 million metric ton to 86.5 million and set the Brazilian soybean crop at 102 million metric ton, both of which would be a significant recovery from last year's 67 million metric tons of corn and 96.5 million metric tons of soybeans. During La Nina conditions, it is typical to see drought in southern Brazil and Argentina. Remember back when the SOI did reach the positive 8 benchmark and the Pacific water temperature did warm 0.5 degrees, both of which were needed for La Nina for a brief moment before both data points quickly reverted to neutral. The 90-day SOI is currently just 1.75, which isn't even close. The ENSO models show more chance of shifting back toward El Nino by spring and summer than toward a real La Nina. That suggests that the crescent and current dry weather forecast in southern Brazil and Argentina will pass and that the drought will not lock in. They haven't lost anything down there yet, and the weather forecasts are not highly reliable. Most of Brazil is in really good shape. Compared to last year, soybeans are more competitive to corn, and this weekend I made the decision to shift my 2017 crop acreage more to soybeans, eliminating corn on corn this season, taking advantage of the revenue guarantee for soybeans in December. I would like the soybean bulls to get both Thanksgiving and Christmas to get the revenue guarantee high. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at Comstock.com or call 712-933-9400.